Shepard, Boggs, O'Neill, et al. To take necessary steps on Monday, July 20th, or as soon thereafter as possible, their judgment may dictate, to invoke procedure 7 days necessary, get early voting committee on poverty. This bill means more than any other in our program. Please do your best.
Yeah,
your friend, I'm just writing it on the bottom of your note. Your friend LBJ. Now, how's that?
That's wonderful.
You can just put that in your pocket and show it to them. And the potential problem of the House Rules Committee in the event the Dirksen Amendment declaration is acceptable has been reviewed this matter. He recognized the problem and said he'll do what I can to avoid it. On the other hand, he points out there's strong bipartisan support this legislation cannot envision any serious problem in enactment. I pursue this with Treasury and others. Review this with Dillon, appears in good shape. He details the situation memo of this date to you. Well, you better check Wilbur and see if old man Smith would give him a rule if it got that amendment hung on. We got to watch them and make them conscious, because they don't pay much attention to it. I'm free in Mansfield, and those fellows, they just take amendments, and that puts us at the mercy of Smith.
Well, I talked to Smathers about it this morning. He can have no doubt in his mind about the importance of it. And I talked to O'Neill and the Speaker on poverty. O'Neill was in good shape. He said he had gotten his letter from Smith today and notifying him that poverty would be taken up again on Wednesday, the 22nd. And he said to stay right with it. And he said, I understand the signals now. We've got to invoke the seven-day rule if necessary, and I'm ready.
Well, now you talk to Jim Delaney, and let's get to Elliot and Dick Bowling, see what days they need to be here. So if you need to, just call them. They think it's important for you to call them anyway. And call Bowling out there in Missouri and say, now you talk to the president about invoking the seven-day rule, and we don't want to take anything away from the judge, and we don't want to fight the judge, we don't want to get in any war. But unless we get a commitment that he's going to report this bill, I let it come to a vote. Give us a date. We've got to do it to protect ourselves, because we've got to get action in the Senate on it, and we've got to get it to conference, and this is a must, because it's a political must, a political issue. We've been all over the United States, been to states that got 100 million population, from Massachusetts to California to Pennsylvania to Ohio to West Virginia to North Carolina, Texas, talking on poverty, and not even get a vote on it, and won't look very good.
Now, we're going to get that, baby. Did you see my rundown of the 31 bill?
Thought it was excellent, and I think you ought to give a copy of that to Humphrey and just say, now, let's be careful, and they'll debate the pay bill a good while, but let's see if we can't bring up stuff that'll move, the stuff that will move through pretty quick. It's got to go. I was trying to look for the memo, but I don't see it here. But anyway, there's some of this stuff. It'll move pretty fast, and some of it, pay bill, it'll take some debate, I imagine. It's in conference, though, isn't it, the pay bill?
That's right.
So you already got it out.
Yeah.
Well, now, let's see. Foreign aid will take a long time, so we got to get the poverty, we ought to get that just as quickly as we can. That ought to be the first one we can. Interest equalization, if they get it out. Poverty is ready, but interest equalization won't be. Commission on Automation won't be. SEC amendments already passed. Water pollution bill. So the one that's really ready to go is poverty, and they ought to try to get it up the day after they come back.
Right.
Now, Shriver said he'd talk to four today, and I said, well, you get Larry and Walter Jenkins and whoever else you need. And he said that he had 49 votes. I said, is that a hard count? He said, yes, they had 49 votes without any Southerners. That's before they got Javits and the Republicans that he worked out an amendment with. He called me this afternoon while I was taking a nap. And I said, well, now, who'd you talk to? He talked to Smathers, talked to Talmadge, talked to, I believe, Irwin and Jordan. He talked to four that told him that they'd go along. Southerners. I said, well, now you just continue to talk to all of them, get everybody you can, because if we can pass that 2-1 in the Senate, it'll be an awfully good thing. And if he can buy 6 or 8 of those liberals, and he says that Keating's got to vote with him to be independent.
Yeah.
He says that Javits has agreed to go along with him. He thinks that Case and some of that group will go.
Yeah.
But I think that if we could do that, that would put it up to Charlie's tail a little bit, if we could get it 2-1, and Judge Smith would show a little weakness in it.
Yeah,
and the Senate's got a good case, because they've already passed this stuff, youth employment, you know. And
yeah. See, actually, in that bill, you wind up with a poverty bill and three others. You know, it's a good package.
Yeah.
And they've passed a couple of them already in the Senate.
That's right.
I was going to ask you, Mr. President, with some hesitancy, for a favor. I wondered if you would mind if my family and I left here about tomorrow noon and went over to New York for a long weekend.
I'd be for it. I'd recommend it, and
I figure it was
I'll do everything except
the next 2 months that I could get out of here, and I thought we'd see the fair.
I'd just take them and have a hell of a time, and anything I can do to make you have a good time, and that pretty wife of yours, I'm for it.
Well, that's all I wanted. Just this weekend, we'll all come back refreshed, and I'll
well,
you
just, you're about the best I got, and I'm going to give you a blue ribbon and some bells on it, and nearly anything you want as soon as we get this election behind us. You've got to get the Congress out, then you've got to take over the campaign, and you got to win it, and then you can sit down and me and you will get in front of a fireplace, and if Ken hadn't quit us, why, we'll, the three of us will pull Walter Jenkins in, and we'll have a new vision, and we'll carry on for Kennedy, and I think you'll be real happy, and you'll have some power and some position and some strength, and we'll find something that you want, and if you don't like that, we'll get you something that pays you $100,000 a year.
Well,
because you're real wonderful, and you
enjoyed thoroughly. The
well, there's nobody that's done more for this administration in this cabinet than you have, and you're entitled to that stature, and your family is, and I'm going to do anything I can to see that you're rewarded any way that I can, because you've taken it for many years, and I want you to be somebody what you deserve, and you've hit the line every play, and the people wanted to throw the passes, why, you've let them throw the passes and let the grandstand shout and holler, and you've gone to the basement. But I know who carries the wood and water, and I'm proud of you, and you haven't bellyached, and you haven't cried on anybody's shoulder, and you haven't asked for any quarters, and you haven't given any. Yeah, well, you deserve it. Tell your sweet wife hello, and I wish that I had a lot of money or a lot of whiskey or a lot of something I could give you to go, but I'll give it to you when you get back.
And I'm going to see you in the morning anyway at that
That's fine. I'll tell you what I might do for you. You might tell your wife to pick out three or four couples that are your good friends, and I'll give you a party sometime.
Wonderful.
Just we'll have about five or six couples down some evening. We'll all have some drinks, and she can put on a party for them at the White House.
See, that'd be great.
You tell her to pick out three, four of her best girl couples and y'all's best friends, and we'll have them together.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.